Monica Smith.
Government has fired rubber bullets and tear gas at anti-lockdown protesters, including children.
You will no longer be able to leave home.
The people have had enough.
Together we can save our beautiful country.
Why is Monica Smith getting arrested for incitement when all she is doing is expressing her political opinion?
We are not going to give our compliance.
Who is speaking out apart from Monica?
You can fire them! Put us in jail! We don't care!
Hello, my friends. Do I have something special for you? You remember in 2020, when all the insanity was breaking out all over the world, there was a country that actually rivaled Canada for COVID insanity, and that was Australia. We saw the most bizarre insanity, but yet, in the midst of that, which you might call hell, rose a very beautiful figure, a young lady who spoke out and organized against the COVID insanity. And for it, boy, was she punished. She was actually sent to jail. Over 20 days in jail for this young lady. It was unbelievable. But that persecution was so severe, it sparked a movement, not only in Australia, but all over the world. Stay tuned for this episode of the John Hunter Weston Show with Monica Smith. We are about to come upon May 9th in very short order. You got to get yourself out to Ottawa to the National March for Life, which is taking place on May the 9th. Make sure you're there. Aren't you sick of Trudeau, the most abortion-pushing prime minister we've ever had? It's time. It's time to show the politicians in Ottawa we're not going to take it anymore. We're there to show that we are for life, and these are not the Canadian values he always says they are. No, the Canadian values are to stand for life from sea to shining sea. This is still a Christian nation. Let's show them that. We'll see you at the March for Life on May 9th. God bless you. Monica, welcome back to the program.
It is so good to be here. Under different circumstances.
Indeed. Let's begin as we always do with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Monica, so good to see you again. You've been very busy. You've been, let's start with that. In fact, tell us, you were just, you just did a tour in Europe. How did that go?
Better than I could have expected. The Freedom Movement, which I call the Freedom Family now after my experiences, is bigger and wider spread than anyone could ever imagine. But who has the time to go visit 17 different countries in 5 months? Well, I do. So I've done that so that I can share with the world that there are freedom people everywhere where you wouldn't expect it, because a lot of groups and community groups, they don't want to be in this big organization or have top-down hierarchy and things like that. Small villages in Norway or in Italy are thriving with all of this self-sustainability. And it just gave me, which I hope to give to you and your audience, a lot of hope that there are so many good people, strong people in the world that are ready for whatever happens. So it helped me, and I hope it in turn helps other people.
There's an incredible explosion right now of interest in what you are doing, because you're actually taking the government to task for what they've done. Like very few other people, you have been able to bypass the regular channels, and you're actually taking the government to court. Tell us about that and when that is.
On October 31st, 2020, I was reporting as a journalist, which I was at the time, and I got arrested 3 times in one day for no reason, while other reporters from the mainstream media were walking around the exact same spot that I was walking around. But apparently my journalism was not okay. The second arrest, I actually got put in the back of a divvy van, which is what we call a police van. And I was stuck there for 45 minutes, handcuffed. And the dramatic scene that I paint for people is that this was the first time a girl like me had ever had any sort of run-in with police that was not respectful and things like that. And I was crying in the back of that divvy van, and I couldn't even wipe my own tears because my hands were behind my back. And this was, I just thought to myself, if they're going to do this to me, a journalist, in a nice outfit, respectful and calm, what are they going to do to other people? Now, we know the answer to that question now, but it's taken 3.5 years of back and forth paperwork, but we finally have a court date, and I'm going to take someone to task for the decisions that were made on that day. The thing is not many people get to go all the way. And a lot of people say things to the police like, oh, I'll see you in court, etc. But the police shrug and laugh it off because they know that person won't have the resources to go all the way or the lifestyle to go all the way. And it is going to be fun to actually see that policeman that I said that to in court and say, I told you so. But anyway, the day has finally come. It's all laughter right now, but it is scary because, of course, the risk of losing a case like this is very grave. If I lose, I will have a cost order against me of $300,000 or $400,000. And, you know, for many people, that would ruin their life. But luckily, I have family and God on my side, so I'm not too worried about that.
Let's just review some of that. I want you to watch this clip because what Monica described about what went on is easily forgotten because it was so brutal, so unbelievable that we tend to want, like all traumas, we want to kind of bury it. Watch this.
On July 23rd, this year, 2024, we have a trial booked in the County Court of Victoria for 15 days. I am taking Victoria Police to trial so they can answer for all the things that they did to all of us during the world's longest and harshest and most ridiculous lockdown in the entire world. Of course, I can only use my story during my court case. However, this case is not about me. It is about all of us. It is about the pregnant woman who got arrested in her house for a social media post. It's about the old lady who got pushed down and then pepper sprayed in the face. It's for all the people who got shot with rubber bullets in the back while they were trying to run away from police at the Shrine. It's for all the people who had a knock at the door at 1 a.m. in the morning from Victoria Police. It's for all the people who were kettled for 4 hours in the blistering sun with no water or bathrooms. It's for all the people that got COVID fines. It's for all the businesses who lost their business during COVID. It's for everyone who suffered at the hands of the police who are supposed to serve and protect the people, not the government.
So, Monica, you were the one closest to this scene because all of us, most of us are in America. What went through your mind when you saw that? Now, you had experienced some of it already because you'd been in the back of a police van and arrested. But when you saw your own citizens being brutalized by police, what went through your mind?
It's interesting that you say that people tend to forget these types of things. And even the people that experienced it firsthand, we also tend to forget. And when I had that video made, for example, and anytime I see those clips circulating once in a while on social media, I really, really struggle to watch that footage. And I've also been away from Melbourne a lot over the last year and a half. And I flew into Melbourne just recently. And, you know, it's an uncontrollable feeling. You just feel suffocated here, remembering all the trauma that went on. And people say, well, just get over it. But COVID is still in the news. And these things are still happening. I still have court cases coming up, things like that. So when I see footage like that, it's hard, but it's an important reminder because I do feel like God believes in justice. He has mercy, but he also believes in justice. And so if it takes humans to, you know, try to make some of that justice come about, I think that's part of our role as well as Catholics.
Indeed it is. In fact, what needs to happen, which really hasn't yet, is the recognition of the evil that went on and some understanding for police, especially who are not just, you know, soldiers of the government that are supposed to mete out whatever they're told to do, whether that means killing innocent people and brutalizing innocent people or not. It means they are supposed to take the law, work within it, and do their best to do justice. They still have their own consciences and they're supposed to work within that. Yet what we saw was automatons doing just brutality against their own citizens, their own brothers and sisters, if you will, their own fellow Australians.
I can actually tell your audience that the police force, especially in Melbourne, but also in other places around the world, it's having a very hard time recruiting people. And it has lost, it has the lowest numbers that it's ever had. In fact, in Queensland, they're even looking at recruiting international police to come and work in Queensland, which is obviously absurd. But obviously the things that they were asked to do and the things that they did do has played a role on, creating discomfort within that job. And instead of looking within the organization, thinking, oh, I wonder what we could do differently to keep our staff in place. Instead of doing that, they're basically throwing their hands up in the air and wondering, gee, I wonder what's going on. And I'm like, well, I could tell you. Also, we've got a lot of police that lost their jobs because they didn't want to get, you know, the injections and things like that. But actually, most recently in Queensland, the police force actually won a case, and it was deemed actually unconstitutional that they were forced to get mandated. So actually, some of the police who wanted to go back after all the trauma they might not want to have gone back. So the police force has suffered immensely. And our crime, which is obviously a bit off topic for this, but it is on topic with police, the crime here in Australia has gone, it's really gone crazy, especially youth crime and things like that. So there aren't enough police to actually keep us safe. And this is a real concern. And one thing I'll say before you ask the next question is, recently, I had an incident where I was sleeping in my van and someone attacked my car, and I got very scared, of course. And the first thing I did was drive to the nearest police station. You know, so even someone like me who's had the experiences that I've had still respect the force and what they're there for. And I asked if I could sleep in their parking lot, and they said yes, and I felt safe there. So there is something to fight to keep. And I hope that instances like me taking them to court is not an opportunity to embarrass them or make the public respect them less, but actually an opportunity for them to think twice before they follow unlawful instructions from their superiors. I want people to think twice before they do that next time, not just for the force, but for themselves, because you've got to sleep with yourself at nighttime and you wouldn't feel good shooting rubber bullets at innocent people, for example.
What do you hope to come out of this case?
Over the last 4 years, I have learnt to have low expectations, only so that I don't get hurt all the time, because the conservative or freedom movement or whatever you want to call it have lost quite a few times over the last 4 years, but we are still trying. My goal is to just air things publicly. You see, there are so many people here in Victoria especially that were brutalized by the police, maybe even worse than me. But I'm the one with the voice, and I'm the one with the support and the family backing and the faith in God, for example. So I feel like I'm airing this for the people that can't do it, the people who have children who have to focus on other things. I don't have children. I can risk all of this because I have the situation to do so. And also, even your audience and my audience here in Australia, they supported me financially when I was imprisoned. And because of that, I feel a duty I'm happy to do. To do whatever I can. And even if I lose the case, John Henry, but I have aired something publicly that stays on the record for decades or centuries, then I think that's good enough. And if that's all I can do, that's all I'm going to do. But I obviously hope that we can make someone accountable for the decisions that were made on that day, and to give the people that can't do what I'm doing some peace that we at least got heard by someone.
You know what, Monica, I can't tell you how many people were inspired, were given hope, were given just unbelievable encouragement by your witness. You've already done enough, as it were, to have suffered what you did, because it's created already amazing benefits for people. It's inspired people, first and foremost, in faith. You're not shy about your faith. You believe in God. You mention him. You're a Roman Catholic. And your parents supported you. When I spoke with them, it was so great to hear. Very proud of you they were, as I would have been. I mean, imagine your child takes the faith and freedom to a whole new level in the country. It's already been amazing. So whatever you do from here on is just gravy.
I wouldn't have been able to do anything without my parents, my family, and my faith. And I think it gives a different meaning to the things that you do. And it makes you feel less afraid. If you're a parent, your purpose is being the best parent you can. And everything after that is lesser of a purpose, actually. Now, I think God hasn't allowed me to get married and have children yet, and I still have time. But yet, because he's like, this is your purpose now. and purposes change, callings change. But in the moment of now, and in the moment that I went to prison and things like that, my lifestyle was set up perfectly to be able to endure those things. I wouldn't have been able to handle the pain of losing friends and family over, you know, the politics. And I didn't lose anybody. I didn't lose my community. My church community were all like me. So I had all the recipes for a perfect scenario. And I still have that recipe in the sense that I have less to lose and things like that. Now, John Henry, it's not going to be forever. Okay. I'm not going to be chasing after the government and politics and courtrooms forever because I don't want to do that forever. But while I can, and while God is telling me to, I'll keep doing it. And I, because I've been alone a lot, so I travel alone, I was in prison for alone, I'm alone a lot. And I think I have a really good relationship with God in the sense that, not in an arrogant way, in the sense that he gives me feelings like within my stomach or whatever. And I just feel when I'm supposed to do something or when I'm not supposed to do something. So maybe sometime soon he'll let me move on with my life. But until then, I'm doing this and it gives me peace to do it. And for anyone out there who thinks, oh my goodness, like when you're going to see the mainstream media will attack me, there's going to be a lot of things. There's other court cases going on that they're attacking me, but I won't go into that. But whenever you see mainstream media about me, just think Monica's fine. She's doing fine because this is perfect for my lifestyle and character right now. And I'm happy to do it, but I'm really happy to get people's prayers because who knows what's going to happen? It's a very corrupt system, but you know, I'm hopeful that I know it's the right thing to do. I just don't know if I'm going to get the win straight away or years later, who knows, but we're in it for the long haul.
Indeed. First of all, let me pledge to praying for you myself and from the LifeSite staff, but also I know many, many of our viewers will keep you in prayer, are so happy to keep you in prayer. One of the things you said is very interesting because I think there's a lot of people who wonder how to discern. And the way you described it was neat. You get a feeling in your stomach or whatever, just a sense. If you have any more on that, we'll take it.
I think that you need to give yourself the space to think about things. If you're always on the run, and then if you're in the car and you're listening to music with words in it, I recommend listening to music, classical music or instrumental music, but you need to give yourself the space to hear God. You can't just say, oh, I want to hear what you have to what you want me to do. And then you're just on the run all the time. How is he going to speak to you? But the other thing is as well, if you ask for him to speak to you and give you guidance, and then he gives you guidance that you don't like, you can't ignore it just because it doesn't suit you. You're supposed to do that thing because you asked for it, and then it might lead into something else that you would prefer to be doing. But if you really want to hear his calling, it will come, but you have to be ready to listen and you have to give yourself the time to. And when he does, you need to do it or else he might not talk to you for a long time. So ask for it and be ready for it would be my advice.
And how do you deal with hardships? You've had a lot of those.
I sleep really well. That's just a basic thing, okay? But recently as well, I've been getting out in nature a lot to compensate for the stress that I have. And when I'm laying on a beach and I'm watching the ocean, I'm thinking to myself, this is God giving me the energy that I need to deal with the things that are coming. And it honestly has worked really, really well. So nature is there. It is one of God's instruments to re-energize us, especially the sun. I feel like I'm a solar panel or like a battery or something. And I actually imagine God himself coming through the sun and like zapping me full of energy. And people say, oh, because I'm traveling, I've done 50 events in Australia. I've driven 50,000 kilometers, which is like 30,000 miles in the last 10 months, all over Europe, all over Australia. I live in a van. I live a very interesting life, which needs a lot of energy. And for some reason, when I need my energy, I'm just there. But it's because I allow God the space to give me the energy that I need when I need it.
Tell us, if you can, a bit about your strategy. I don't know how much you're able to share, but if you're able to share us any of your game plan, please do.
Remember, this case is about being arrested actually a year before I actually went to prison. And so the prison case is coming next. So I'm sure I'll do an interview with you then, but it could be in a few years' time. Who knows? My strategy is very plain and simple. It's just the truth. I understand that court is different. It's all about process and Gosh, all these confusing things. And that's how they get people, because it's so complicated. But for me, it's really, really simple. This happened and it shouldn't have happened. And that's where I'm going with. And then I don't think I need five lawyers and barristers like they do, because I'm not having to come up with clever ways to justify why I did things. I don't have to. It's the truth.
What can people do to help you, though? We want to pray. Is there somewhere we can write to you, keep in touch with you? How would people keep up with you even?
If you subscribe on www.monicasmith.com, very simple, that's how you can keep up to date. If you live in Victoria, people are actually coming to the court case. So I really hope to have a lot of support there, especially if you have some grievances that you've never been able to air. Come and let's make this our case. That's actually all I'm asking for at this moment. And if I do get a payout of any sort, it's taxpayers' money. I might keep a little bit myself if I deserve that. But because it's taxpayers' money, I'm going to spend it back on the Freedom family in Australia, especially. Just pray for me and come if you're in Victoria. That's all you can do. And subscribe.
Beautiful. And how are you going to keep people in touch with what's going on as it continues?
Well, I have all the social medias, John Henry. So, you know, Telegram, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then I also have my website, which is monicasmith.com. So you can connect with all the socials there. But the email, the biggest news will always be sent by email. I don't send emails that often because I'm on the road, but the important ones, you'll definitely get an email. After the last 4 years, we've had a lot of time to reflect on the things that worked and didn't work. And I think it's really important that we do reflect on those things so that if tragedies do happen again, global tragedies like, I don't know, they try to bring in a cashless society or climate change lockdowns or anything to the magnitude of COVID. I think it's really important that we focus on things that worked instead of wasting our energy on all the things that we tried and failed. But also because we know now, but the last thing I want to say is that traveling the world, meeting the freedom movement around Australia, I absolutely know that people are far more ready than they've ever been, because before COVID, we didn't know each other. I didn't know you. All these groups didn't have each other, and they're still meeting up weekly, fortnightly, or monthly and communicating. That people like us who are open-minded and who know what might be coming, we're actually ready. We're more ready than we've ever been. And I have so much faith in our communities, in humanity, in fact, that when push comes to shove, if we get pushed too far, we absolutely will stand up. But unfortunately, we're going to have to get pushed to see that. So when you see governments pushing and doing things that seem just absurd, actually, instead of being afraid, you should almost be thankful that they're overplaying their hand, because the sooner they make mistakes, the sooner we will come together and we will have the life that you want for your children and I want for my nieces and nephews at this point. So don't be afraid when you see them doing crazy things, because maybe we need them to, and that will be our time to shine.
Indeed. Now, you mentioned there digital currencies. What do you think is the problem with going away from a cash society into a cashless digital currency? I mean, it seems so convenient for people. You know, they're using their credit cards mostly anyway. What's wrong with that?
A one world government, a one world currency, a one world language kind of sounds really convenient, actually, if it wasn't in hands of bad people. Then everything would be fine, actually. But the problem with cashless society is that none of your movements will be private anymore. And some people say, well, I have nothing to hide, so it doesn't matter, until you do. Now, I had nothing to hide 4 years ago, but if there was a cashless society implemented in Australia during COVID, do you think I would have been able to go grocery shopping? Maybe, maybe not. I guess we don't know. The thing is, the people implementing these things have been proven to be untrustworthy. So the same person who says we would never mandate medical procedures is exactly the same politician saying we would never mandate a digital ID. And you think to yourself, well, how can we trust you? And then there's the very simple things, John Henry, like, you know, giving children, your grandchildren, a $5 note in a card, or doing a cash job for your friend. These are the very simple things. But the sinister thing is complete control. And I'm telling you, if we go cashless, that is exactly what it will be. It will be, and I'm not a very dramatic person in that sense, but it will be the end of freedom for the foreseeable future if that becomes mandatory. But can I just say on that point, I don't want to end on a on a dramatic thing, but I don't think they can do it. I think it's all smoke and mirrors, because in Australia, anyway, they couldn't even do contact tracing properly during COVID, for example. So what the heck makes you think they can bring in a digital currency and digital ID all at the same time and make it mandatory and make sure everyone has reception all over Australia, which is a huge country with hardly any people? How the heck are they going to bring that in? Now, there are so many rural places here in Australia that have no reception, and the FBOS machines go down all the time. So I really think it's actually a fear tactic, because if you're a globalist or if you're a tyrant who's trying to scare people, obviously you're going to pretend that you're further along in your agenda than you actually are, because that scares the exact people that they want to scare. So what if they can't do any of it and they're just trying to scare us?
China is a good example, though, of people who have enforced such a thing. And it's exactly as you said. What's amazing is nobody would have thought they're going to mandate people to take some medication or something, let alone a controversial one that's untested. Yeah. But they did. They would never force people to stay in their homes and tell them they couldn't come out and make a curfew on the whole of society. But they did. They would never cancel someone's bank account. No, but they did. So, yeah, you can see it.
It's actually great that they did those things, because when you're talking to someone, you can use those examples, like Trudeau in Canada, or like UK, Nigel Farage's bank account. So you can actually use these real life examples and say, but what about this? And the other person has nothing to say. So maybe it's a gift. And that's why I think that when they overplay their hand, that's when we're going to recruit a lot of people onto the truth movement, if you will.
Monica Smith, it's just beautiful to be with you, to learn from what you're doing, to be inspired by what you're doing. You're in our prayers. We will follow you. And on behalf of all of LifeSite News, thank you. Thank you for your witness. Thank you for your faith. And thank your parents for us too. Speaking as a dad of many children, that's a really great thing when you see your daughter shine. And you're shining very brightly right now. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
And God bless all of you. And we'll see you next time.
Hi, everyone. This is John Henry Weston. We hope you enjoyed this program. To see more like it, be sure to hit the subscribe button below to get all the latest content from LifeSite News. Check the links in the description to read more and connect with us on social media so that you can stay up to date with all the latest life, family, faith, and freedom news. Thanks for watching. And may God bless you.